sidekick to come up here for a moment, at least to sit toward the front so that we can swap journeys. Margo, you can be nervous, Linda's coming up. And the sermon, I promised Margo, would not all be about her, but parts. Because I want to talk about what we learn from journeys and what happens when we journey together. Because a couple things on a journey, it matters to know where you are headed. There's something, if you're going on a long journey, journey somehow conveys to us a sense of movement over time, and you're moving toward something. So there's the why of travel, the why of the journey, but there's also the how you do it. On the how of the journey, earlier today we were talking about how many folks here like to plan things out in advance. And I'm going to have two choices here in a moment. How many folks like to know when you're going to leave, the routes that are selected, you want your hotels booked, you've already got your water bottle on the table, you've never once forgotten it. How many of you are in that planning mode, and how many of you are Marilee's father? So those who are the planners among the group, those who will admit to liking, maybe you like 80 or 90% of it planned. I know some of the folks out here, let's be honest. How many people here truly consider yourself a wing it person? Yeah, John Ramsey, go for it. So interesting how you all just self-identify. You may have done it differently. Margo recently shared with me that she had visited with her sisters in San Antonio, and I heard it was a fantastic report. What made that a fantastic report was that the people were nice. People were kind, the sights were interesting. What was also interesting is she said the weather wasn't really that great, and the return flight was bumpy. Yet the trip was fantastic, and we just heard that from her sister. Because I think as we journey, as we look back, as we reflect on things, there are bumpy spots, but we look back as to how it felt to us. Because we journey through life, leg by leg, choice by choice. And invariably, our journeys come with stories. There are the times that we have been thrown off course or faced obstacles. Those times on our journeys when we were just awestruck by something unexpected. I think even the planners among us, we set out on these journeys knowing there are going to be twists. Couldn't help remembering that movie Home Alone. Remember when Kevin misses the plane? And he has his journey, and his family has another one. I was recently lucky, and I was in New York City visiting our daughter, and we saw the play Come From Away. I don't know if other folks have had a chance to see it, but it's an amazing musical, and I'm not usually overboard excited about musicals. This one I was. And it was the story of the 39 airplanes that ended up on 9/11 being directed to Newfoundland, to the town of Gander. And it was the story of interrupted journey and group journeys, because you had 39 different flights of people who were then held on the tarmac for a long time, and you had a town of about 5,000, 7,000 people figuring out how do you welcome 6,500 people. Because I do think we sometimes think it's just easier. Marilee and I were talking earlier about her family's travel business, but she said we mostly plan for individual journeys. I think we like to think we control our own destiny. We like the simplicity of moving at the pace that works for us, not going hard, faster or slower, as Marilee and I were talking, or having to look at stuff that's not that interesting to us. We love this idea, particularly those who've grown up in privilege of individual destiny, making our decisions, being in control. And yet, much of our life is a group journey. Our lives are intertwined, and moving as part of a whole brings us the joy of camaraderie. The sense and the ability to light joys and sorrows candles together that didn't just pop up today because we chose to get together,
It happens because this loving community has been meeting for 25 years. Some folks here for 25, other folks visiting, and yet every day the table is set for this group journey. It's group journeys bring reassurance in times of hardship. I hadn't remembered the story of the broken arm, but that's a good one, and I joined Marco as the broken arm team this year. I also think traveling together brings us the complexity of picking a direction for a group. Traveling together means making and then living with group decisions. Have you ever tried to choose a restaurant with a large group while on vacation? Maybe it was a multi-age extended family group. People at different levels of hunger, and nobody thought to make a reservation, despite last year we said we would have reservations. You've got people at varying ages, varying hunger levels, varying food preferences. How did that go, making that decision? Different willingness to spend money. And then you get to the restaurant sometimes, and they said there was no wait, but there actually is a wait, and there really isn't a table for 14. And people are getting grumpy. Because I think when we're on this life's shared journey, there needs to be tolerance for mistake. There's also that time when you hit just the right restaurant and the table was full of conversation, the table was full of people being together, and that story, maybe it was at a restaurant or maybe at your home, is now part of your family folklore. It's that time when a shared journey finds that feeling of just being right. One extreme journey that was a shared journey is in Exodus, in the Bible. You've got the Israelites. There were probably, by some estimates, about 600,000 people leaving for a better world, leaving for something that felt promising, and yet they left in disarray. It wasn't a planned shared journey exactly. And then Moses gets selected by God to lead this group. You can just picture the mumbling and the confusion. I'm guessing Marco's heard some mumbling and confusion at times from this group that she's helped lead on our shared journey. But Moses gets some help here. He starts out on this journey. First thing, the Red Sea parts. Well, that was a nice break for the shared journey. It's both a fateful and a hopeful moment. It's showing that you're not going to be able to predict everything on the journey, but there will be times when things really break your way. But then they keep journeying. They're thirsty and they're hungry, and people are worried. They're wondering if we're going to trust this group and be together. They didn't really have a choice. Am I going to go with the crowd, not go with the crowd? Would there be enough? What was going to sustain folks for what ended up being a 40-year journey in the wilderness? In Exodus chapter 16, we hear this. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough food just for that day." Well, in the evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was this fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." But here's the thing. Moses is trying to lead this shared journey, and he needs to get his followers to trust there would be enough. Yet, people hoarded. They tried to keep too much. They didn't follow the instructions. They didn't care for the food. They left it out and it rotted on the ground. They learned together. And part of the message here is that group journeys are difficult, but it is how we travel. And it depended on cooperation. And eventually they found a pattern. They found the rhythm, just like this congregation at times finds its rhythm. And they found out that this sustenance was called manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it like wafers made with honey. And this is what sustained a group for a very, very long part of their journey. They went toward the promised land, and that is the role of the leaders among us, to lead the group journeys. And leaders come in many forms. Some are stand up, prophetic, be in charge. But Moses was doubtful, not sure that he was quite the right person. How are you going to build trust? And what's the other thing about the story I want you to hear is Moses takes the torch part way, but he doesn't actually go all the way to the promised land because torches get passed. The journeys are long, and we don't all lead in the same way for each part of the journey. And the Unitarian Universalist of the Chester River, you have been on this journey for 25 years. You've passed the torch from board president, minister to minister. Where journeys are looking at a place, for a congregation, your end point is never going to be an end point per se, but the place you point is your mission. And the mission of this congregation is to inspire, inform, and support all who seek personal and spiritual growth and a more equal and just community. And so for any journey to feel right for the current travelers, which this morning is you, in the current conditions, there needs to be this sense of welcoming. This needs to be the sense of continual building of relationship and building community. But as Unitarians Universalists, we ask sometimes, isn't our thing to all do our own thing? Don't we say that everybody's on their own individual spiritual path? Isn't this sort of idea that we have to make decisions together and pick a path together, isn't that almost the antithesis of being Unitarian Universalists, where everybody can do their own thing? I think the shared part is more about what this community is about. It's about learning to move with grace toward deeply held values. We don't accomplish this sense of wholeness alone. Marco came as the possibility of connecting in shared space, and this actual physical space was just becoming a reality. Marco has been around as part the leadership of this congregation, so she may not call herself a leader, but boy, do we call her a leader, since before this place was built. She knows it took planning, it took decisions, and it took money. She remembers Susan LaFleur, Joanne Hilton, John Turner, and Jim Lavin, many others of you, but those are some names. And someplace between the beginning of Margot's tenure here, the church administrator since 2003, she has been the crux of this shared journey. She's just worked with a bunch of ministers from David Newell to me and varying loving souls who had stepped up as board leaders, but she's been our continuity. And as she retires and the board is figuring out who will take the torch next, for now, it's a time to pause. It's a time to recognize that your short shared journey would not have happened in the way it has without Margot's love, without Margot's sense of detail. Bit of Moses, bit tour bus director. You can figure out the right words. But I also know I'm somebody who's picked up the torch fairly recently, and I invite Linda Dutton forward to share a few reflections on Margo and what she has given to this congregation.
Hi, everybody. This was a surprise task, but my honor to share with you some thoughts. Don't worry. I suspect that many of you, like me, would have often wondered how to begin that project you signed up for at UCR. Who's going to know what's going on around here? How was it done before? Whatever. Well, when I feel that way, I call Margo. She helps me figure it out, and her thoughtful questions and common sense personality lead me to a clear starting point. So now I'm wondering, how we're going to know what to do when Margot moves to her well-deserved retirement. I sure don't know, but Margot will know. She has that great sense of what is what. She will know when that new person that she's helping train will be ready to help us. So we've learned to depend on our Margot, and she'll help us again. So there is a lot I do know about Margot, and I do know and love her as a friend for a long time. And I couldn't remember how many years she's been here. But there are some other things about the UUCR Margot that continue to mystify me. Here are some things that I cannot understand about Margot's work at UUCR. So how in the world can she have such amazing patience with us? We're a bunch of unfocused volunteers most of the time. How can she be so kind to us during that same intense hour she is tasked with getting the collection plate numbers right every Sunday? I don't know, she's amazing, but you'd have to learn that great skill from Margot. And there's another mystery. How can Margot be so reliable, so dependable, honest, discreet, and trustworthy all the time? All the time. You know that she's been exposed to everything messy that goes on within a small church congregation. Yet her character never falters. You're just going to have to ask Margot that secret, but I tell you, she won't tell you. So there's another Margot skill. What kind of friend can be so smart and multifaceted that during a serious church meeting, she might be reminded of a kooky joke to tell just me? Then days later, she even has the memory and the wit to be able to share a good giggle, and she never misses a beat. I love her sense of humor. So that's only part of the beauty and the smarts of our dear friend Margot. So just remember, if you don't know something, you can still call Margot, but only for a few more days.
So as we celebrate Margot, we also reflect in our own lives, what does it take to journey as a group, whether it's here at church, or in your family, or your workplace, or in the town, or wider society? We might come to the question too, it's a lot of work to be together as a group. Why bother? Well, my answer here is pretty simple. I think this congregation, UUCR, is a saving force in the world. When we come together to hold stories, we know that over the last years, several in the congregation have lost family members and friends. Others have taken on new risks, managed hard and joyful transitions. So the why of religious community is to hold space, to be on a shared journey for joy, for new life, for life's experiences. For all the personal uncertainties, we come together. We come on a shared journey despite the fact that it's a little tricky to make decisions together. So I think on a shared journey, we need three things. Here's my summary. We need some sense of where you're going. And this group has that sense. We are a place of inclusion. We are a voice on the Eastern Shore. And we are here each week, doors open and hearts open. We're here. Harness our energy. Second thing we need is the blessing of willing leaders. Whether you're staff and paid like Margot and I are, we are your payroll, the whole thing, and volunteer, we need folks that are open to taking their turn for a leg or two to find what they like and they love and to carry that torch for some period of time. For all the ways you are leaders in life, thank you. For Margot, a special thanks for leading through the details and making sure we have gathered every week for years and years. The third thing we need is sustenance for the journey. We need mana. We need the mana that Dick talked about that's paid in checks and through direct deposits. And yes, they'll always accept more, but gratitude that we figured out sustenance for the next year. And we need the sustenance of encouragement we provide to one another to keep moving on a journey with confidence and care. Margot, you have helped set direction. You've led through those details. You have been our manna from heaven. You have been sustenance through encouragement, through your care on a very long segment of this congregation's 25-year journey. It's a congregation open to all, a congregation contributing to the good, a congregation of action, and most of all, a congregation of care.
So we've been sharing this beautiful journey with Margot as a center point of our pivoting church community. And we're going to miss her in her admin role. But I'm excited that there is a new journey ahead. Margot will get to be purely our dear friend and co-congregant. That never-ending weekday and weekend church duty cycle will be gone. No more perfect order of services. On a Friday, you'll have more time to play and to travel, and we certainly hope to continue to see you here regularly at UCR. And with more of your relaxed smile, more funny stories, and simply more of your kind heart and abundant curiosity for our church and for our town. We love you, and we just finally want to simply recognize your generosity, your fine personal qualities, and thank you for sharing them with us here at UECR. I'm sure all of you feel the same. Thank you, Jim.
So we can almost go through this without embarrassing Margot, but I do think she should stand up. Because as leadership shifts, and as the load is shared in new ways, blessings on the many journeys, blessings on the shared journey of this congregation, and blessings from Margot. And I would suggest if somebody has a camera, may it be so, and let's recognize Margot in love, and we'll have more chance to do this at the potluck. But Margot, thank you. And I think the final hymn we've chosen for today is Love Will Guide Us. I think it fits for Margot's legacy.